People always know someone who looks like me. Wherever I go, once a week, someone will come up to me and go, hey, I know someone that looks like you. I never know what to say. Well, tell them hi. Encourage them to wear sunscreen. And this person who looks like me, never doing something impressive with their life. Yeah, he mows our lawn. We don't even pay him, he just does it. That sounds like my gene pool. Occasionally on social media, I'll be sent photos of babies who supposedly look like me. This baby looks like Jim Gaffigan. People think it's hysterical that I look like a pale, pudgy, bald infant who poops in a diaper. Sometimes people get too cute. They're like, hey, why does our baby son look like Jim Gaffigan? I'm like, because I slept with your wife.
At 6:09 at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio, refreshed, a civic media station. Partly sunny, beautiful day today. Highs near 59. They won't bring themselves to say 60, will they? They're going to stop right there at the end of the cliff. They won't go over and say 60. A clear sky tonight. Lows around 40. 61 the high tomorrow with sunshine. 62 on Sunday with sunshine. Right now, cloudy, 50 degrees, but yet a beautiful morning. I just poked my nose out there. And the birds are singing or saying something about me. I think they were talking behind my back, personally. But they were out there, and it's just a beautiful morning. Even though it's cloudy, the ground is just starting to dry up from last night's rain. And what a beautiful morning. Coming up later on this morning at 6:30, Dave Mack is going to be your newly elected 4th District Alder in the city of Racine. But we're going to talk about a lot more than that. I mean, we're going to talk about emergency management. Yesterday was a tornado awareness drill. I'll tell you something funny about that when Dave comes in. We're going to play some music from his wife, who is a wonderful singer. Whoa, Amy. Just beautiful voice on her. We're going to talk about 4th Fest. We're going to talk, well, I've got a whole bunch. And he's in a constant tour around the state, testing every restaurant and every event and tourist trap around the state. That we'll talk about that with Dave. He's coming in this morning at 6:30 on this beautiful Friday morning. Wow, what a weekend coming up too. This morning my wife got up and she said, oh, we're going to have a busy weekend. Wait a second, what do you mean we're going to have a busy weekend? My plans are to lay around and do nothing. What do you mean we're going to have a busy we're not going to have a busy weekend. Maybe you're going to have a busy weekend. I'm going to sit here and watch Dateline all weekend. and The Survivor. And what else do I have to catch up on? Oh, I got a whole bunch of movies, some Turner Classic Movies I recorded this week. I got to catch up on those too. I'm going to have a busy weekend in front of the TV. I don't know about you. It's 611 WRJN. The big news, of course, O.J. Simpson passed away yesterday. You know, I'm kind of sad the way I reacted yesterday. I was here at the radio station when Stuart J. Waddles, our news director, came in and said, O.J.'s dead. And the first thing I did was clap. And I shouldn't have done that because anytime a human life is lost, it is a tragedy. You know, whatever O.J. did or didn't do, it's still a tragedy when life leaves the planet. Because no matter what things you may have done or not have done, everybody still has some worth. And of course, O.J. has worth. I mean, his football career, his acting career has worth. And I was ashamed of myself after I clapped. And I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. And you shouldn't take glee in somebody, you know, dying because, well, almost every person has worth. A lot of people don't. Hitler didn't have worth. All right? He didn't. There are a lot of people that don't. But I kind of felt bad that I did that. But, you know, I was hoping that O.J. would make some kind of deathbed, you know, confession about what I think he did murder his ex-wife and Ron Goldman, Nicole Brown Simpson. I think he did do it. That's my personal opinion. The jury felt differently, but, you know, I wish he would have made some kind of confession. Even if he would have said, listen, I just want you to know with all my heart, as I enter the gates of heaven, I didn't do it. Or as I enter the gates of heaven, I have to come clean. I did do it. But I don't think he did. Unless he left a note with somebody that we don't know yet. You know, he could have left a note with one of his children or whispered something in their ear. And I would have liked to have a deathbed confession. You know, either way, just let us know for sure. Because when you're dying, what difference does it make at that point? I mean, they can't do anything. First of all, even if you were alive and you couldn't, if you said you did it, they couldn't do anything because it's double jeopardy. They already tried you for it. You know, after you're found not guilty in a court, you can get up in front of the judge, say, I did it, and I hoodwinked the jury. Nothing they can do about it at that point. I mean, he was found guilty in a civil trial. He was found guilty of wrongful death of Ron Goldman, and he had to pay. But the Goldmans, I don't think, got anywhere near what they were promised millions and millions. They got his Heisman Trophy, but they should have got everything. They should have wiped him clean. They couldn't touch his NFL pension, but they should have been able to. Just wipe that guy clean, have him living on the streets after what I think he did. But that's my opinion. A jury felt differently. What a trial, too. I was listening to some attorneys yesterday say that the whole legal system, people learning and getting into the whole legal profession, learned a lot from that trial. He had the dream team. He had some of the biggest lawyers, including Kim Kardashian's father was on that dream team. A lot of John, of course, Johnny Cochran. I think the greatest parody of Johnny Cochran is Jackie Childs from the Seinfeld show. Not only does he look like Johnny Cochran, but he acted like him. Remember that? Jackie Childs? Preposterous. This is the worst humiliation I've ever suffered in my life. The character in Seinfeld. He's one of my favorites. Okay, so that's the O.J. thing. He's gone. He did spend 9 years in prison. Whole thing with memorabilia. Pulled a gun on somebody and held them up because they had his memorabilia. What a stupid thing to do. So he spent 9 years in prison. And a lot of people thought that was his comeuppance for what, you know, they think he did. And I think he did, too. That whole thing with the glove. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. No. Then we had that Bronco chase and people cheering him on. They showed a clip from the Oprah show when he was acquitted. A segment of the audience just stood up and cheered. I mean, really? We have two dead people here. We have a mother of his children, Nicole Brown Simpson. We have an innocent bystander who went to return some glasses she left at a restaurant, Ron Goldman. And you're cheering? I don't get that at all. Anyway, OJ's gone. And now we'll just analyze it. And let's see if he left a note. Maybe he did leave something laying around that says he did do it. Well, we'll find out. Remember that book he wrote? If I Did Do It? What an idiot. If I Did Do It. That was the book he wrote. What a moron. Anyway, the Goldmans got rights for the book, and they said, if I did do it, Confessions of a Murderer. I didn't know that till yesterday. I know the Goldmans got possession of that book. You got to feel bad for the Goldmans. They lost their son for no reason. He just was doing a good deed and whatever. All right, someone asked people to name random signs you're officially old. You ready? You eat Tums like candy. We do at our house. You still print your boarding pass just in case. Now, I don't fly often, very rarely, but I do print the boarding pass. You snap your fingers when you're trying to remember something. You can't stand or sit without making some sort of noise. I do it here when I stand up. That is so true. You watch the local news every night, and bonus points if you say things like, what's this world coming to? And you've recently stood outside a store in the morning waiting for it to open. I have done that. I stood outside the public library waiting for it to open. I had to get in there and get something out of the library. I did do that. Yeah, all right, it does happen. A new study tracked people over 8 years and found that people who exercise in the evening have a lower risk of death from any cause compared to people who don't exercise or exercise earlier in the day. It followed every exercise. This gets me. If I followed every exercise tip I've mentioned here on this show, I'd live forever. You only need to exercise for a second and a half every day. Anything more than a second and a half is wasted. 55% of people in a poll say they rely on Google more than their formal education on average. We Google five basic questions a day. If I had to choose, I would make Google the eighth wonder of the world. I think Google is amazing. Five times a day? I use Google more than that. I use it all day long. It used to be, you know, my parents had this old encyclopedia set in the house from 1939. And I used to use it for school. I mean, think of the people who were president at that time. They were still in the encyclopedia as alive. So I used to use that. But now, kids use Google, ChatGPT. Who has to work anymore? Nobody's got to work anymore. Hey, somebody put a picture online. It was one of these history things on Facebook. This woman was born in the late 1700s and lived to the early 1900s. She was 106 or 112 years old from like 1797 up until, you know, 1902, 1903, somewhere around there. She's the only person in the history of the world to live through three centuries. Whoa. Isn't that an achievement? 619 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. Beautiful day on tap today, partly sunny, highs near 59. What's the guy's name who sings that song? I forget what his name is. Tony Burrows. Tony Burrows was a studio musician who also sang for like five other groups. Trying to think of the Brotherhood of Man. Let's see who else he sang with. I can't think of all the groups, but that's what he did. He didn't go on tour with people. He just sang their lead songs in Edison Lighthouse, which really wasn't a group. It was just a studio group that made this song. But anyway, you gonna bring that microphone within a quarter mile of you here? All right.
I didn't know if I was supposed to be on until 6:30 or not.
Oh, yeah, 6:30. That's right. All right. Set you off. Dave Mack is here. Congratulations on your win, by the way.
Hey, thank you. It felt good.
I was going to get that Al Pacino line on here. And he says, every time I get out, they keep bringing me back in, pulling me back in.
I use that as my announcement when...
That was my
announcement to my Facebook friends. It's, never thought I'd be getting back into it. Walked away from it 13 years ago. Tried to fly under the radar. Every once in a while, there'd be an issue that would raise up that I would... kind of poke my head out, and I would say something about, but it had to be a big issue. I kind of wanted the alderman that took over for me the opportunity to grow and to be her own person, and yet every once in a while, there'd be an issue that would occur in the city. Lakeview was a good example. I just had to raise my hand and say, you know, wait a minute. And so, but everything aligned kind of in December when I was asked by several people if I would consider running. It felt right. I got that fire back in the belly, and I felt like Al Pacino on Godfather 3 just when I thought I was out.
They pulled me back in. That's the way I felt when they asked me to come back.
Exactly.
Something similar like that. Yeah, and I'm glad I did. It's a lot of fun. I mean, who doesn't like sitting around all day playing radio? I mean, people say, you think it's a tough job? Tough job. If it was a tough job, I wouldn't be doing it. Trust me. Mowing lawns in the summer is a tough job. Putting concrete down in the streets is a tough job. Picking up garbage every Thursday morning around the city, that's a tough job. This is not a tough job.
Yep.
It was bad here once when the heat wasn't working. It was a little chilly in here, so that was a rough morning. This is bad as it gets.
Well, I still remember you trudging to work in 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot snow drifts
during the
Groundhog Day blizzard. So that you were committed to your job, and you did everything you could to get here and get that radio turned on so you could deliver news and commentary to us.
But I didn't know that my heart was failing at that time.
I remember.
It was April 5th. The Groundhog Day thing was obviously the 2nd of February. April 5th, I had surgery on my heart. And the surgeon was talking to me. He said, you know, it could have been a different story that morning. You could have been face down in the snow.
Yeah.
He said, you don't realize how bad your heart was. Actually, it wasn't my heart. It was my valve. And I said, well, come on. What do you want to do? Come on. Let's move. What do you want to do here? So actually, yeah, that's what he said to me. He said, you're at a number 8 right now with your heart. And I said, well, how bad does it get? What's a number 10? How bad is it? Oh, 10, you're dead.
Oh, no.
10 is not working anymore. I said, so I have like till 9? He goes, yes. What do you want to do? I said, can we fix it? He said, when do you want to do it? I said, well, it's 3 o'clock. We get this done by 4:30? I mean, what are we
doing? I got to be back on the air tomorrow morning.
Actually, the last thing I did when they put me out at the hospital, they gave me all this sodium pentothal, whatever they give you. They gave me all that stuff. They actually left the... This is when I was on 92.1. They said, we have the station on here. Can you go on the radio now? So they made a call. Kurt Bowman was filling in for me. And I got on the air, and there were all the people, and they were saying, hi, Kurt. You know, they were all on the phone with me. As I drifted off. I don't know if you've ever had surgery before.
But yeah, not really.
5 hours I was under the thing. They break all your ribs open. This is not good morning material, but they break all your ribs open, and you know they stop your heart because they got to work on it. So 5 hours of my life I can't account for. I mean, that's strange when you wake up and you say, 5 hours. When you dream at night, you roll, you can remember something.
Don, I got one better for you. I got 28 days I can't account for. In 2005, when I had pancreatitis, I went in on a Tuesday evening. By Thursday, they were rolling me into ICU. By the weekend, I was on a respirator, and I don't remember anything for almost an entire month.
It's scary, isn't it?
And I sometimes rack my brain trying to figure out what was going on. And I guess I was alert and communicating during some of that time. I don't remember anything. Nothing. And then what was worse was some of the things that I remember from when they took me out of ICU into the respiratory unit. And my reality was much different than everybody else's reality.
I know it's very scary. When I woke up, my wife was videoed when I woke up. I had tubes down my throat. I had tubes in my heart, you know, electric things coming out of me. And nothing hurt because nothing wore off yet. But when it wore off, I said...
You're talking about heart failure. My buddy's wife.
Hold that story a second.
Okay.
Hold that story a second. 629 WRJN Radio. David Mack is here. Your brand new used 4th District Alder. Is it Alder? You're going to use Alder?
It's Alderman.
Alderman. Okay.
I'm a curmudgeon.
We're coming up. Stay with you.
Top 10 signs you get a bad travel agent. Here we go. Number 10. Hotel stay is 6 days and 2 nights. Number 9. Accepts payments in the form of personal check, credit card, or freshly harvested kidneys. What? Number 8, won't let you go on vacation for more than a week because he'll miss you. Number 7, when you're in New York, he recommends you see a taping of The Late Show. Number 6, instead of the Ritz, you're staying at the Rats. Hi-oh! Number 5, your plane ticket is a post-it note with a handwritten message, please admit one to the airplane. Number 4, you have a layover at LaGuardia Airport, an 8-day layover. Number 3, number 3, rider on vacation. Number 2, forget the restroom, you're riding in a JetBlue wheel well. And the number 1 sign you have a bad travel agent asks you to deliver a brown paper bag to a guy named Nikolai.
Neck and said, now listen, Jack, straighten up and fly right, straighten up and fly right, straighten up and fly right, cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top, ain't no use in diving, what's the use in jiving, straighten up and fly right, cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top, the buzzer told the monkey, you're choking me, your hold and I'll set you free. The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye and said, your story's touching, but it sounds like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and do right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
All right. Who is that? That's wonderful. Who's that person on there? Let's sign him.
Amy Hernandez Mack, and that is her debut CD, live at Gene's Jazz. She
that's live, huh?
That was live. That was right before COVID hit. It was, I think, the only show that they got in that year, about 4 years ago, and we finally were able to get it mixed down, and it was pretty good. I was real pleased with how it turned out, along with some of the other musicians that helped out on that project. So it was fun, and something that we can get out and maybe bring the, what it was like, the Blues Brothers, let's get the band back together.
What, so do you have any musical talent at all? That's a no.
Yeah, I listen to music, and I'm a promoter, but I...
Anytime I hear somebody go, that's a no. No. If you have to think about it, it's a no. Well, anyway, so Dave Mack is here. He is our new 4th District Alderman. New used. He's like, you know, he's already got some mileage on him.
Yeah, I had 10 years of experience, which...
We put him on the rack and got him... He got an oil and lube on him, and here he is.
According to my opponent's father, I was a retread and part of the establishment, and I've been out for 13 years.
Has it been that long?
It was that long. You know, my son was going to be a senior in high school, wanted to make sure he earned his Eagle Scout Award, so kind of, you know, did some things to... Yeah, you know, I said, you know what? It's been 10 years. It's a good run. Nobody should be there forever. Coming back, I don't...
From a guy who's 52 years in radio.
Nobody should be there forever. A little different. A little different. Radio, you don't get elected to your position here. But I look at it as a little bit differently. I'm coming back. Yeah, I have experience. But I haven't been there for... 20 years. I've lived out in the real world for the last 13 years. And, you know, that's unfair, too, to paint aldermen as people that don't understand the real world, because it is a very part-time job, and most aldermen have jobs. They're active in the community. You know, they got the finger on the pulse of what's going on. So it's not like, you know, congressmen that... That's all they do. They're congressmen. They're full-time politicians. We're part-time at best.
So how often do you meet?
You have a standing committee that you're on that meets twice a month, and then the council meets twice a month. And then there are And then there's all kinds of, but...
My bowling league met more than that.
It's like the Boy Scouts, they tell you, it's only an hour a week volunteering, and you end up qualifying for the Presidential Volunteer Award gold level, you know, because you're putting in hundreds of hours.
Yeah, they told me this job was 2 hours a day. Yeah, but it's like 4 hours prep work, getting ready for it every day. So go ahead.
Oh, and I sat in for you once, and you know all the prep that you have to do, and you got to do it every day. You're going through, and you're looking at what's on the news, and what can you talk about, and what's hot. But same thing. It's you know. So back to where were we?
You're talking about
volunteer. Yeah. So anyway. Then there's all kinds of other committees, boards, commissions that the city has, and aldermen have to sit on those. The good news is that you as a citizen could get appointed to one of those committee boards and commissions too. And my philosophy back when I was an alderman, I was...
How many years, by the way?
I was on there for 10 years.
Okay, good.
As a new alderman, I was put on the Parks Commission. But the Parks Commission had a number of citizens that were involved in it, and I kind of would sit back and allow them to lead, allow them to make motions, because I get to do it, you know, all the time with standing committees, the ones where it's just aldermen. But this is an opportunity where citizens can be actively engaged, and I felt strongly that aldermen shouldn't overshadow these boards and committees where citizens were a vital part of it. So there are opportunities. There are other things like the zoo board, the Douglas Avenue bid board. I'm hoping that I'm on both of those. The zoo is in the district, so is the Douglas Avenue business improvement district. So we'll see where the mayor decides to put me. It's ultimately the mayor's decision. And, you know, wherever I'm put, I'll serve it, and, you know, I will definitely make an impact. I always have.
You know, I don't, you know, I'm not a, I do this and that's all I've done all my life. I don't really get involved in anything else. People have asked me to get involved in things and I don't. I just, I'm glad there are people like you that get involved. And I mean, you've been involved in the Boy Scouts. You've been a teacher. You've been all that stuff. And I'm just glad I have people like you and people who volunteer all along the line because, first of all, I'd never get involved in politics. It's bad enough when you're in radio, 50% of the people don't like what you say. But at least they don't get me in a restaurant and say, you know, there was a pothole on my street you said you were going to fix and you never fixed it. And I broke my axle the other day. I'm going to sue the city and I'm blaming you. I don't, you know, if I'm in a supermarket, I don't need people coming up to me complaining. And that's what you're going to get.
Yep.
And you're one of those people that kind of sticks out. I mean, you know, people know what you look like. If you're a new Alder person and all of a sudden, you know, you're in the position, people don't know what you look like.
In the old days, we'd go to a restaurant and the owner of the restaurant would pull up a chair and sit down and talk to us. And, you know, it's like, oh, it happened quite a bit. You know, we just rolled with the flow. It was fine. So you don't want me to recommend you for the Sanitation Commission,
I don't want to be recommended for anything. You know, I have one phrase I live by, and the people here know it. I don't get involved. I did get involved in one thing. I got the new toilet bowls installed here.
Congratulations. Yeah, I see you're building out a new studio,
yes,
too.
Yes, it's going to be. This is the production studio, and the engineers did a great job in getting this on the air because this was not intended to be a studio to run a radio show on the air every morning. And I told them what I kind of needed. They did it, and they did a great job. And now they're going to redo their main studio, and it's going to be state-of-the-art stuff.
Nice.
And, but this, you know, when I came in, I said, you're going to make this an on-air studio? They said, we'll do it. What do you need? I told them, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I've been coming here for probably 30 years, interviews and stuff over the years. And, you know, for a long time, it's been old, outdated. Every once in a while, you'd get excited if there was a new piece of equipment that came in. To me, the average guy, you know, it just looks like a piece of equipment in a rack. But you'd be excited about it. But
this is, you can't believe what this studio is going to look like. The thing is, when Sage Weil, who owns this company, Civic Media, bought it, he bought a ton of radio stations across the state, a lot of them. And they were all, the previous owners didn't take care of them, didn't update them to the latest technology. Yeah. Well, you and I were talking about technology a few minutes ago. We'll talk about that in a moment. And, you know, they just didn't update it. So he's a big computer guy. He's a big tech guy. And he said, we got to update these radio stations. And he started with the worst case people first. And they're up in Park Falls now, redoing that entire radio station up in Park Falls. And we're next. We get next week. And
very
they'll be
nice.
Upgrading this place. But, you know, we were lucky. We had a studio here they were able to put together real quick. And it works fine. It's a beautiful studio. It works fine. That is going to be, like, state of the art when we get done here.
You know, and the listeners don't see what we're seeing. And this was old, outdated, run down. And now, I'm excited to see it after it's done.
Yeah. And then I won't be allowed to. Don, don't touch anything. But I got to work here. And don't touch anything. You're not computer savvy. I've got so many things to talk about with you this morning. Now, your wife, she performs at Jean's Jazz, but she sings other places. I've seen national anthems. And
she has, over the years, she teaches music, general music and choir over at
Gifford. She's a teacher,
Yep. And then she sung the national anthem for President George W. Bush.
Yeah, keep trying.
used to for the Indian Summer Festival that was up in Milwaukee, the Native American Festival. She'd open it up every year.
Now, she is a Native American.
Yes.
Okay.
She has sung for the Milwaukee Brewers, the Marquette Golden Warriors. The Kenosha Kingfish, those are fun games.
Are they still called the Kingfish now?
I believe so.
I thought they changed their name.
I haven't heard.
Okay, maybe they didn't.
Yeah, which reminds me, I better get a hold of them if we want to go to a game, so I'll see. But that was always fun. They'd give us a couple tickets to the game. She'd sing the national anthem. You know, and people appreciate the way she sings it because she sings it straight. She doesn't jazz it up or anything like that. And then She sung for Jeans Jazz. Last few years, she's been singing for this church downtown, the Music and More series, and we're booked again this year. So
we're booked.
Yeah, we're booked. I'm the one that has to make sure she gets there and pull everything together.
You drive the car. We're booked. It's always the guy who can't sing. We're booked. But that is great. I mean, to have a musical talent. I was telling you before we got on, my wife is teaching me piano. My brother's got all the musical talent in the world. He sang. He performed with the Shangri-Las, the Shirelles, Little Anthony the Imperials, Benny King, Ruby and the Romantics, Jay and the Americans, Strawberry Alarm Clock. You name the groups of the 60s, and he played with them. Because you know, he reads music. He knows how to play every instrument there is. I have no musical talent. I don't know why. It just skipped me. I don't know why. And he can pick up an instrument. I asked him the other day, I said, you play the piano. He says, I can hear a song and play it. But I, you know, it's been many years. I can't read the piano music anymore. But I said, you can hear a song and just play it? He goes, yeah. I play it on the keyboard.
My son had this uncanny ability to pick up an instrument, and it took him a little bit, but he could start playing stuff by ear.
I know. Isn't that an amazing talent to have? My wife plays the piano. She's teaching an 11-year-old kid now who plays the viola to play the piano. And she's amazing. And I'm out there going, you know, one note, two note, three. I just don't have it. Dave Mack is here. David Mack, our brand new 4th District Alderman. And we're going to talk about some emergency management. We'll talk about all that stuff. 4th Fest. We got his state tour that he's been taking for the last umpteen years all around the state. We never stopped. Every restaurant, he's hit every restaurant in the state. More coming up. Stay where you are.
where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney top.
Of that song. I almost want to say, oh, Auntie M. Oh, that was good. And that's live.
That was live.
No
live
retakes. Yeah, no retakes on that. That's wow. That's great when you can just do those songs live. And no, well, yeah, like here too, where we make a lot of mistakes, but we just let him through. And that's Amy Hernandez Mack. That's Dave's David's wife. And is it Dave or David?
David.
All right, David.
I just want to give a shout out to Joe Mooney, who started Gene's Jazz Series.
Yeah, Joe Mooney, Racine Theater Guild. Yeah, he's always involved.
After his wife Jean died, she was a big jazz aficionado. He wanted to do something to honor her memory. Took some of the memorial money, kind of set up a trust there to get the Jazz Series off the ground, and it's been going strong ever since. And just a remarkable thing that Joe does, brings his old team together, a lot of the guys that helped out with the, what was the, at the festival, the big music, it's on the tip of my tongue.
They're, Woodstock.
They're coming back. There's a group that's going to try to Harborfest.
Oh, okay.
His old Harborfest buddies. So, Joe, just a remarkable guy, giving of his time and talent, and he loves music. I'm sure he can't play an instrument, but
it's always those that can't play that always put things together.
But he's does a great job with Gene's Jazz, tries to bring something different, bring affordable music to the community, and quality on top of that.
Hey, get ready to laugh till your cheese curds squeak, because Charlie Behrens is coming to the Wisconsin State Fair stage Thursday, August 8th. Join us for a night of uproarious comedy as Charlie Behrens, the hilarious voice behind the Cripescast podcast, right here on Civic Media. Shows why he's Wisconsin's favorite funny man. Tickets go on sale at WIStateFair.com this morning at 10 o'clock. And all next week, I, along with Jane Matinair, will give away tickets to that performance at the Wisconsin State Fair. So be here all next week, or if you want to make sure you get your tickets, go to WIStateFair.com. Beginning this morning at 10 a.m. for Charlie Behrens. Funny guy. We go and use a laugh these days. So buy your tickets or take a chance. We'll be giving them away all next week right here at WRJ. And he's coming to the Wisconsin State Fair. We've been talking about that Thursday, August 8th. Seems so far away, but it's not that far away.
No, it'll be here tomorrow.
I know. You know, I make these doctor's appointments 6 months in advance. And then I show up and say, I can't believe I'm here already. It was 6 months ago I was here. David Mack is here, our new 4th District Alderman. And we're talking
your Alderman.
Your Alderman.
I'm your Alderman.
Yeah, that's right. You're mine. And by the way, as long as you're my Alderman, get over there. I got a thing in the street I want fixed. No, actually, my street's pretty good.
Yeah, you are. You're on Main Street there.
We're
row for the 4th of July parade.
Please don't remind me.
Hopefully, you'll be broadcasting live this year like